Indeed, let us now open God's Word, the three passages of Scripture that we read, Genesis 12, 2 Corinthians 6, and from Hebrews 11. First, from Genesis 12, there's a well-known passage that the Lord calls Abraham. And we read verses 1 through 7. Let us listen to God's word. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At a time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now we turn to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6. We start with verse 11. Then on page of your pew Bible, I think 967. Where the apostle says to the congregation in Corinth, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In turn, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, 'I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." And let us now turn to the letter to the Hebrews. The well-known chapters 11 on regarding the witnesses of faith, Hebrews 11. We read from this passage, verses 1 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek them. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And now we read a part that we especially focus on this morning as a text. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Here ends our text. We continue reading. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is now, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Thus far, the reading of God's word this morning, and may God bless this reading, his word, unto us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning you left your home. And that's the place where you live, you sleep and eat. You also confess that your church home is here in this place, in Regina. And that's the place where you listen to God and where you worship Him. You have your earthly home, your personal home. You have your spiritual home. However, Scripture makes clear that you have not reached your ultimate home. You haven't reached it yet. You are still on the way to your heavenly home and a heavenly homeland. And to enter the heavenly homeland, you will need to show your passport. Entry into your heavenly home is also dependent on your identity. You have to show that you are a child of God. You have to show that you listen to Him. And that you indeed also obey His call. Especially your spiritual passport needs the stamp of faith. It must be clear that you have left the idolatrous world and that you have stayed away from it. In fact, that you have lived as a sojourner on this earth. And so this morning, I may bring you God's word as follows. This is the message: God's call to move to our heavenly homeland. And God calls us then to go out from an idolatrous world. And secondly, to stay away from an idolatrous world and to live as a sojourner in an idolatrous world. So first, to go out from an idolatrous world. Brothers and sisters, Abraham gets an important place in the list of Hebrews 11 amidst the witnesses of faith. On God's call, as we read, he left his comfortable life in Ur of Babylon. Why? Why did Abraham move? Ur was a great place. At the time of Abraham, Babylon had obtained a high standard of living. It had developed writing in hieroglyphics. It had agriculture. It also visual arts flourished there. You know, at the time, Babylon had become a world center of civilization. However, it wasn't only the cradle of culture. It also was the cradle of the utterly wicked world around us. For once again, people on earth had become very wicked. And as you know, that had happened before. In the first world, after paradise, then people's wickedness had grown to such an extent, you could say such, to such a depth, that everything man thought, imagined, and did, everything that man did was evil. And therefore God destroyed that first world by the flood deluge of Genesis 6. But Noah found favor with the Lord, because Noah carried the stamp of faith. Therefore, God made a new start with him and his family. They also received the same instruction as God had given them in paradise. However, God's new start with Noah turned anew into a great disappointment among Noah's descendants. Sin yet again reared its ugly head. And sin, brothers and sisters, sin always has a devastating effect on faith. Because sin carries the evil virus, an evil virus. It darkens confidence and trust in the Lord God. Sin darkens the eyes of faith. In its place, people start to rely then on things they can see, things they hope that they can make for themselves. Their inner selves then gives them direction. And that's precisely what happened in Babylon. People became impressed by the sun. They gazed at the moon, the stars. They trembled for the powers of nature. Lightning strikes, the rolling thunder. Storms and earthquakes make them shudder. They felt being governed by the powers of what they saw and experienced. And so man started to worship those powers. And they produced then their own gods. Now what goes hand in hand when people forget the living God? When people make their own gods, what happens? Then they start indulging in abominable things. Especially in abominable sensuality. It happened in Babylon too. They started to worship the god Venus. It came with much fornication, temple prostitution. So, Ur and Babylon was affluent, but also decadent. In such an idolatrous world, Abram lived as a well-to-do cattle ranger. He, so to speak, had made it in life. Humanly speaking, there was no reason at all for him to move away. However, God had a different plan with him. God would call Abraham. For what? To build an ark again, like he in the past did to Noah, that Noah had to do? Was it God's plan to destroy the wicked world once more by a flood? No. Our sovereign God goes now a different way. Now he makes a clear divide. A divide between Satan's people and God's people. He separates his chosen people from evil and idols. By doing that, God had his loving eye on one man from the lineage of Shem. Yes, God would snatch Abraham from the devil's destructive trap. And as God always does, he involves his people. And so did he with Abraham, making him the father of all believers. Indeed, brothers and sisters, God doesn't treat people, his people, like puppets, just picking them up and placing him on the right spot. No, he gave Abraham the command, what he had to do. Go out, he says, go out from your country. Leave your people. Leave your family too. All his family was included, imagine. Go away from him. Go out to the land that I will show you. Thus, Abram had to uproot himself from an outwardly splendid, in a way, cozy world. Imagine, he had to give up all earthly ties, comfort, security. He had to leave an ungodly way of life to follow God's righteous way of faith. Wow. What a far-reaching command that was. In no uncertain terms, God said to Abram, leave! And Abram went. How in the world would someone give up a very promising world? The clear answer to that is only God-given faith is doing that. And that's what we exactly read in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out. He went to a place that he was to receive as inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. His only assurance was receiving a new land as God's inheritance and promise. And yet, he went on his way to something he did not see. Yet, what God had promised him, and as he hoped and trusted that he would receive it. So indeed, beloved, faith stamped Abram's life, and faith is the firm ground of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen, as described in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Here Scripture crystal clearly shows two of faith's important components, which are simple listening, respectful obeying. Very important, faith. Simple listening to God's word, respectful obeying God's word, respectful obedience to God's will. Abram was called, and he simply and humbly listened. Beloved, since we have Abram as our spiritual father, we too, as God's people, as God's chosen ones, we too need to make a similar move of going out, be it in another form and in other circumstances, of course. God doesn't play us anymore into a separate nation. Now, through Christ, his gospel word comes to all nations and all peoples. We don't and we are not form a separate nation. Even in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 10, Scripture clearly says that we should not abandon getting out an immoral or idolatrous world and form then our own country, form an own colony. No, not at all. But on the other hand, the divide still exists. And that is the divide between believers and unbelievers, between a holy church and a godless world. Spiritual light, as we also have read, spiritual light and spiritual darkness still don't go together. Neither do Christ and Satan. Together and individually, we are God's holy temple as Christ's congregation. Through our Savior, God dwells. God walks with us. Like in the Old Testament, he said to Israel, as he now says to us, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, as we have read, the divide is expressed with a command, separate yourself from all unclean and idolatrous things in the world around you. And so, congregation, young and old, is it necessary to spell out the unclean things around us in the world in which you live? I think that you know yourself which they are. The world of ungodly theories and lifestyles, idolatrous entertainments and parties. Go away from that, because they have a strong attractive pull. Every day plead with our Father in heaven to give you the power of his word, to give you indeed firm, solid, true faith, so that you will leave the abominations of our sinful and dark world. Now, leaving them is the first thing. Closely related to that is to stay, to keep away from the idolatrous world. And that's our second point. Verse 9 reads, by faith he, Abraham, went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And so, Abraham's faith also became evident in Abraham's perseverance in listening to God's word. He arrived in Canaan, but he did not get the land. He did not own the land. He lived there as in a foreign land. He didn't get even a piece of ground in possession, except if one will call a family grave in the field of Ephron. As real estate, the only little piece that he had, that he bought. Abram didn't even live in a house in the land of promise. No, he lived in tents. Putting all his confidence in God, he kept himself apart from living in the cities of the idolatrous people. Here, God's word shows us that we need to perseverance. We need to live in patient endurance, trusting in his promise that a new earth will be our heritage. In that respect, there is again resemblance between Abraham and us. Being children of God, through Abraham, we are heirs with Christ of everything that belongs to God. That's including the world that he's making, the new world to come. Congregation, it's rather our sinful weakness that we hammer our pegs firmly and firmly into the ground of this sinful world. And that shows that our nature likes it to live in a world that's merely focused on self, on own enjoyment. However, there is nothing better than to live for God in Christ and to work and to long for his kingdom to come. Something that you daily pray for, your kingdom come. But once again, let's be clear. Staying away from an idolatrous world does not mean that the world in itself is of no concern to us. We cannot turn our backs to the world in which we live, although it is an evil world. It's still God's creation. And we have a responsibility in taking good care of the things in the world, although there is a lot of wrong around us. But it is still our Father's world. Secondly, remember the command given by our exalted Lord Jesus to his apostles, to his church. They shouldn't close themselves in and keep themselves in a nice, tidy spot. No. The Lord Jesus said, go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations. In Acts 1 verse 8, he even says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now that mission command isn't limited to missionaries and church planters. They certainly have a special task in that, a special task also in this world. But as members of Christ's church, here, you all need to carry out Christ's mission command. Yes, we need to stay away. Again, that's the message, clearly message. We have to stay away from all wickedness, the works of darkness, but not from the people around us. And your life situation is husband and wife and forming a family. Show God's holiness and purpose of life. Connect to your neighbors. The same count for single members and young people. Show and witness of life in Christ as the light of the world. In the ordinary relations of society, be a mouthpiece of the Lord, or in other words, be living letters in the city of Regina. Be of good reputation among unbelievers, and be an attractive church. That's also how Abraham understood his position. In humility, he gave honor to the rulers and people around him. He did honest business with them. People could see how he loved and honored his wife, his family, his slaves. He treated his servants well. He showed hospitality to strangers. He certainly didn't live a secluded life. He didn't keep his tent door closed. True, he kept away from involvement in the Aramean and Canaanite feasts and party celebrations. And he didn't want to mix with them in their idolatrous and dark practices. He shied away from having family relations with them. Remember, that's why he sent his servant far away to his kindred, to find a wife for his son Isaac. Thus, staying away from an ungodly world positively means showing the fruit of the Spirit by your lifestyle, following different fashions and enjoyment, different entertainment, and so forth. Being obedient to God's call, especially on Sundays, meeting with Him, with your brothers and sisters, indeed to rejoice in the presence of the Lord, to worship Him. On the way to a better homeland, yes, obey the clear call of God. In a short sentence is, be in the world. Be not of the world. Like Abraham, know to whom you belong and who the ruler also is of this world. And there is this strict divide. Pray for God's grace that individually and together as Christ Church, you may keep the freedom and opportunity to be a great witness of the world to come. Every morning, whether you stay at home or leave the home, The world around you is your mission field on your way to your heavenly homeland. And so we have come to our last point. God calls us to be a sojourner in this world. The truth of God's call and promise, they were the ground of Abraham's life of faith. Verse 10 clearly expresses this by stating, he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. In a fallen world, ungodly people that are people that live without God, ungodly people build for themselves a city. Yet believers know that God in heaven has built a city for them. The city of the sinful world doesn't have foundations. It won't last. The city of God's world has foundations, and it will last forever. This truth makes God's people live as sojourners or exiles on the earth. It's also stated in Hebrews 11. Now, being a sojourner does not mean that one behaves as an insecure stranger. Look at verse 10, verse 16. Also there, they tell, Hebrews 11, tell us what a sojourner is. A sojourner, as God's child, is confidently looking forward to a better world, to a better country. And with a keen hope, he lives towards his homeland with the city that God has prepared. Yet a sojourner is not living in an overcharged, enthusiastic hype about all that might happen. A sojourner does not live in a constant rapture mood, so to speak. No, like Abraham, a sojourner is calmly and calmly living his ordinary life. He's doing so with joys, challenges, with the chores he has. By doing his tasks, he always is ready to listen and obey God's word. His voice now comes through his word. Every time you read it at home, meditate upon it, especially on a Sunday, through the preaching of the word. The word gives you direction, how to live for him, how to walk to our eternal homeland. As a sojourner, the believer also lives in the firm hope that God will fulfill his promises of eternal blessings, eternal life. And this means that we, that you, young and old, humbly listen to God's word. And next, that we seek always God's direction to keep and to get us to our eternal homeland. And therefore for us, beloved, the Sunday, the day of the Lord, and especially, is not just an add-on to our life on earth. On the Lord's day especially, God's call comes to us to worship him. You have heard it this morning again as well. God's call comes to us and to live then for him. Then we may enjoy the blessing of God's promises. We enjoy it in our Sundays as a foretaste of the rest in our heavenly home. On the day of the Lord, like today, sojourners separate themselves from an idolatrous world by going to church. And there they get strength for ongoing travel to God's city. Next, to your environment, you radiate respect. Respect for God and his word. You show respect for fellow citizens respect for his life and property. You show respect for God and his rules, for public life, and a sojourn of people to the city with foundations. You maintain the fundamental truths of faith and the works of faith. For example, you do your daily work as God's co-workers. You have and form a family in the Lord. Yes, since marriage and family are such important foundation blocks for church society, but they are special foundation works for the city of God, to populate the city of God in heaven. And therefore, you also will defend holy marriage. Speak therefore highly of holy marriage, beloved, since it belongs to God's covenant bliss. And therefore, we abhor all ungodly, immoral sexual practices and ideologies. Oh, beloved, this morning we heard and listened to God's call to move to our heavenly homeland. That God calls us to go out from an idolatrous world, to stay away from an idolatrous world, and to live as sojourners in an idolatrous world. In the cultural climate of today, it is extremely important to notice one thing yet. Today, people think that they have the right to determine their own life, and they don't like others to tell them what to do. They quickly feel offended and hurt by instructions or commands they don't like. Indeed, then one can hear them saying, "Oh, I don't like that. I don't do it. That's ridiculous. It's even inhumane. And it hurts me when you say that." Brothers and sisters, do we hear such reactions from Abraham in Genesis 12? Not at all. He doesn't say, "My roots are in Ur, in Babylon. I feel I can't go away." Or, I think moving away is too risky." Neither does he say, "I don't see any reason for leaving, so I stay." He does not take that self-directed position, beloved. Without any argument or objection, he accepts God's word, his call. He simply listens. He expectantly obeys. He reverently lives a God-fearing life in accordance to God's call. And he also eagerly longs to enter the blissful life as God has promised him. Well, congregation, that is God's worked faith necessary for your passport to enter eternal life. Then you respectfully hear God's word. You simply listen to God's word and his will. Then you also reverently live according to God's word, and you eagerly hope for the fulfillment of his promises, the promise of the gospel. May the preached word of God this morning powerfully work and strengthen such faith by which you, as confident sojourners, are focused on God's call to move to your heavenly homeland and do so with God's promise of awful bless. It's not just an insurance,
on your way. It is the assurance, God's promise. And so to him is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the clarity of your word about our future. We are glad that you have clearly revealed this teaching about our move to our better homeland in heaven, a land with the holy city where we live everlastingly. Thank you for the certainty that your word gives to us. We also thank you for the instruction which comes along with this move, the call to live as children of light, children of the day. We praise you that through the power of Christ's resurrection, we will overcome all the distractions and temptations of this dark world around us. We especially thank you for the Sundays, the days of rest, set apart so that we get refueled for our daily sojourn in this world. Gives us strength, motivation of staying away from an evil and idolatrous world. Grant us to acknowledge that for us the Sundays are days of fasting, on which we separate ourselves from the hustle and bustle of this world in order to keep our focus on the new world and the new heavens. We thank you for all the sure promises about the age to come. We give thanks as well for your Holy Spirit who works the beginnings of eternal joy in our hearts. We pray, Father, that obedience as you give to your people in the past, that you also give it now to us. The right perspectives, the trust, and the obedience. Let your call and promise kill all our fears, doubts, apathy, tardiness. We ask you to keep on strengthening our faith in your word so that we can walk as your children each day, that we are on the move to that better homeland. Grant us the assurance that your Spirit provides, protects, and preserves us as citizens of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.